All right, take your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. We're looking at this wonderful book of God about this commandment, the fifth commandment. We're going to finish this tonight, Lord willing. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Of course, in New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Our Father, we thank you again for this precious book, and we pray as we open it tonight that you would refresh our hearts and minds around this truth, and in turn we'd learn something about the home that's so needed in our day. And dear Father, we pray that you would honor yourself as we listen and help us to see clearly what we need to see to help us grow in grace and knowledge and be even better parents. And certainly, dear Lord, from that, see the effect in the children. It amazes me that God put great emphasis about the children in the Old Testament, honoring their father and mother. And yet in the New Testament, we see that man puts the emphasis upon the mother and daddy in the sense of dealing with the children, abuse and other things. Even what God said do, they look at it to be an abuse. But we want to be able to put it together and understand it and then ask you to help us make it applicable to our lives. And anything biblical that's applicable to our lives is going to help us to live for you and serve you better in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week, we were talking about three things last week at honoring father and mother that we could do. That is, what does it entail to honor a father and mother? And I said there was three areas that certainly this can be done. And these three areas is respect, honor them by respecting them, honor them by obedience, and honor them by care. One person said that a college-bred man is a four-year loaf made out of a father's dough. Amen. So that's about right these days. Another person said to have a thankless child is like having a sharp serpent's tooth. And I think probably we've got, in our age now, more children that are less thankful than ever been before. Anybody here is any age knows that when you grew up, your parents pretty well told you that when you got grown, you were on your own. And you had to make your own bed, and you had to lie in it when you got in that bed. And you had to live with the means you have, because there are too many people have too much to give to the children. But the last generation that's come up, there's been the thinking, though, that because they were born into a family, then the parents need to be able to take care of them all the time, just about. Now, that's the mentality of our particular day. Nothing wrong with that person wanting to do it, but that's not the way it works. As a matter of fact, comes a time that God set forth that when you get to your own family, comes a time not only you have your own family, but there is a time that you're to honor and take care of your mother and dad if they need taken care of. That's biblical. And so children should show respect to the parents during the total span of their lives. In Proverbs chapter, look with me in Proverbs chapter 23 and down about verse 22, the Bible says simply this, hearken unto thy father that beget thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Hearken to your father, knows that beget thee. Isn't it interesting? Talking about being born into a family. We looked at that just a couple weeks ago. Joseph beget, Jacob beget Joseph, Christ is Jesus' stepfather. And yet when you get over there and look at Mary's genealogies, you find that it talks about being the son of Heli, which is not beget, but the son-in-law at that time. So here, Methuselah, for instance, he lived to be 969 years old, and he was always known in the scriptures as the son of Enoch. Always known that. No matter how, that's pretty old, isn't it? 969 years old, but he's always known as the son of Enoch, showing the importance of the fact that children are to honor their parents, no matter how old it may be. Now, this is important due to God's promises, because in Ephesians chapter 6, again, he talks about a promise with this, which we don't see that in the Old Testament, as God gave the law, but here there is a promise. It may dwell with that may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, the problem with that is people begin to say, well, that means then if I honor my father and mother, I automatically live to be 99 years old. No, that's not what it means. See, when God gave this to Israel, He was giving them to a rule that when they got it, by the way, when He gave them that law, honor thy father and mother, and be well there as far as the land, they hadn't gone into the land yet. And what He's setting forth, that there's a law that will maintain Israel in a way before God, have the children obey their parents. There's a law that would maintain that they would live in the land longer and God would bless them. Because you can understand, if people are obeying God's law, He's bound to bless them. And if they're obeying God's law, they're going to win out in the problems and they're going to win out in the wars that may come against them because God is mightier than man. So in the fact that they believe, hey, the next generation that rises up are going to be better children than those who do not honor their father and mother. Why? Mother and dad has a lot to give to their children as they grow up in wisdom and knowledge and handling themselves so that they don't get caught in the adolescent years in the flesh and suddenly go with this flesh, which has to do with the lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh, pride of life. The lust of the flesh is sensuous. The lust of eyes is materialistically. And when you talk about the pride of life, it's egotistically. And so when a person is self-centered that way, then they come up into adulthood, they're going to do everything. That's the reason we have society that is today. They don't know God. They're away from God. And they'll mock anyone else who tries to claim to be walking with God, because to them, it's silly. And secondly, they say they see so much in those who say they walk with God that's not holy, not righteous. And so they make a lot of fun against those people. If one is sick, then God, get him to a doctor. If one is to learn, get him to a school or get him to a college or help him out in those areas if it's possible that you can. If one seeks a longevity of life and stability of families, then the fifth commandment is the factor in general. What God is doing, God frowns on a headstrong, ungrateful, callous young person who denies the elder, inspection of their parents, respect, concern, and support. That's something He frowns on. And many times, many young people, and I've sat now for 50 years, and I know, and I've had them come to my office, and years ago, and I will never forget a young lady that came to my office back about 3 years ago and sat there and wept and wept and wept and said, Pastor, if I'd have listened to what you and my mother and dad had taught me when I was coming here many years ago, I would not be in the place I'm at right now. And I won't tell what it was, but it was not a good place to be. And she said, I'm the fault. I'm the blame. I had everything around me that was instructing me, and I took out on my own and rebelled against it. And now my heartache today is my own because I refused to listen to what was taught in this church and what my parents tried to teach me as I came up as a young person. By the way, that's multiplied by many, many times. In fact, I don't guess anybody here is a little be mighty old and how children, especially adolescent years, don't realize there's a lot of things your parents taught you that if you'd listened to, life would have been a little easier. I know I would, and I thought my dad, I had an alcoholic dad at that time, but when he was sober, he had a lot of values. He had a lot of things. He told me about how to shake a hand. He told me to look at a person in the eye. Some people talk about me shaking a hand so hard. You know the reason I do that? Because my dad told me when you shake a man's hand, you shake it, let him know that you really mean what you mean. Now, there's a lot of things I didn't like about my dad, but he had some good things that came when he came up a hard way in those early years, and I just didn't listen to it, and now I'm trying to make up for it. Amen. You say, Preacher, when you shake my hand, I bounce. Well, that comes from back to those days, you see. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, they said that it might do well with thee, or go well with thee, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And interesting enough, at this time, when they got the law, they hadn't even got the land as of yet. But He said, it'll go well with you if you do what I say do. And it starts as far as the family is concerned. God will bless those who listen to Him. That's why we pray for our leaders. We know that God allows national leaders to rule for stability. We know they allow them to rule in justice until they are removed. They're given as that which is be a blessing from God if they rule in justice and stability. They're for protection. But on the other hand, when a ruler, and sometimes a ruler does come in who's anti-God, then the best thing to do is wait till you get rid of that one. And I mean, when I say get rid of it, I mean, God never has given us I'm not talking about wiping them out. I'm talking about we have ways to do that through the vote. The greatest power we got is a vote in our nation. And of course, other countries, you had to wait until that person actually died, like King Herod and others in Christ's day that tried to eradicate the coming of Christ by killing all those babies at that time. So the commandment here covers family life, and it covers national life, and it covers the church life. And so I want to look at these three things. Start with the home. It amazes. The stability of a home can bring stability when it comes to a nation. It's just multiplied many hundreds of times over. God's word works in individuals' lives. And it has to be, it has to grow in individuals' lives for it to affect. No home can be no better than the individual who obeys God. No nation can be any better than those individuals in that nation who obeys God and does what God says for them to do. Now, it's interesting, because to honor the parents here, like we find in Exodus and Ephesians, to honor the parents, the father and mother, what constitutes that? I said before, respect and obedience and care. Let's look at respect to begin with. To respect the parent. To honor their parents is the respect that we show them privately. Respect in attitude. Respect in the sense of the way we talk to them and how we talk to others about them. I'm glad to say, and sometimes in my testimony, I may remember some things in the early years before my dad was saved. And sometimes I have flashbacks of those things, but I have a lot more memories from the time he was 60 to 87 years old when he was saved. Well, I remember when he was not saved, I should say, and now I remember more when he was saved. There's a lot of things in my adolescent years I remember. I wish I could forget. I never will, because Satan brings them up. But I'm glad to know that I've seen a mother who stuck by the one that she married because she was taught to death do you part. She suffered a lot in her beginning years, but I'll tell you, she had great rewards in the end of her years. And she'd tell you now, and two people loved each other and went through those things and came out at the end. God honored that because they were willing to stay faithful and willing to try their best to make things work, even hard times. Even though one would have the right to leave the other in our day, but at the same time they had morals, which in turn kept them from doing just that. So it's not necessarily a solid attitude either. It involves attentiveness when they speak, to listen. It involves listening to them, discern the wisdom and insight that they offer, and hearing them about life. Now, some things may come a long change in them. In other words, there's been many a children in a home where there's been chaotic conditions. Immorality may be involved, or there might have been alcohol involved, or and you know, to the place that where one just went off and left the other, and children were caught in that conflict. There might have been bitterness taking root in their lives. But when it comes to our father and mother, the Bible teaches us they are a gift from God to help us grow, till we get up to be a father and mother, to reproduce a family. They're a gift from God. And children are a heritage to the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you what. There's much more responsibility from God about a family and the home life and raising children than what the government says there is. I'm going to tell you that. The government listen, you know, it amazes me how much trouble they gave Lester Roloff and his home that he was trying to take street people who had no one that loved them and take them down there and get them in confine them in an error and set up a rule regulation biblically based and raise them, and how the government tried to shut them down when they couldn't come close doing what he was doing. People would go out. You may have had one rotten apple, but that means the whole barrel wasn't rotten. He had a lot of good young people come from that place who went across this country and served God. And whereas otherwise, I've heard them give their testimony. Had it not been for that, they'd been out somewhere or another in Skid Row, popping stuff to them, rather than living for God, and many times marrying preachers. And some of the boys becoming preachers in those particular days back then. And so again, you know, they're gifts of God. This doesn't mean that parents don't err. This doesn't mean that we're perfect. Be honest now, parents, we're not. There have been some times that we got frustrated at the job, came home and took it out on the children. There have been times that wives and husbands have been to, used to just with the husband, now both sides. Been times that the husbands have been to the job, got upset when somebody came home, took it out of the wife. Been times that wife now goes and comes home, try to take it out of the husband, because that's the way we are. Sometimes we can't strike back where we're at because there's a fear, but it seems like we always feel comfortable striking back someone we love. And the world's full of that. And you see it every day, and I see it more now because through the years of serving God and seeing how that we do things in this particular life. So they speak to them. They give wisdom. They offer in hearing about life. But a lot of times we say, young folks don't think, they don't think the parents have much good common sense. They really think that you're so old fashioned, you don't really understand what's going on. Aren't you glad that God always knows what's going on? And I know He's the answer of that. They're always that which they correct, and it gives assessments of life situation. It does mean that they have wisdom. It doesn't mean they're right every time. We're certainly not perfect. And by the way, the reason for that is everyone in here where you're at, you had to learn as you took the stages in your life. And by the way, we've not quit learning yet. We're not quit learning yet. There's much more. You know, there's one thing, first of all, how to live with someone all the time. And we are so egotistic, that's hard to do. Because when you live with someone all the time, you got to give up some rights. You got to give up some things. And we don't like to do that. Because we never did that before much, especially when we become adults. And then we learn after a while to work that plateau out. And then the next thing, we've got to learn how to deal with children. I thought when you had children, you just told them what to do and they did it. I mean, that's by the way we thought we did. And you know, in my mind, I thought that's the way I did at home. But I look back now and realize, no, Dad pretty well set us straight. There's a lot of times that I didn't do what I probably should have done. I did a lot of things I think I should have done and did well. But when I say this, that the fact that we're just not perfect. And so when the children come along and finally get them out, and then suddenly something has happened. We've been so busy raising the children for 20 years that the husband and wife have forgot each other. Then you've got to have a regrouping. Don't look at me like you don't know what you most of have been married here as long as I have. You've got to have a regrouping. And God helps you do all that all the way. And then once you get regrouped good, you got the grandchildren. And all of a sudden, they're there all the time. Come on, would you keep them today? Next thing you know, you're keeping them about 3 or 4 times or 20 times a month. Amen. I make it a little fun, but you get the idea. And then if you live long enough, you think you've about got them out, and you're grateful that most of them turn out fairly well, then there's the great-grandchildren. And you're learning all the time. And then when you really get to the point you think things are well, you begin to look in the mirror and all of a sudden you start decaying. You got physical problems. You think, boy, if I can just get here, see, if I'm 50-year-old, my children will be grown, they'll have children, I won't have to worry about them. And then all of a sudden you realize you have to worry about them because they're around and you have to help, you love them. And then you get to be 65 and you think, that's really what I'm going to enjoy life. And you find out you can't live. And what little you get going to the doctor all the time, you're popping pills all the time. It's the beatenest mess you've ever seen. Aren't you glad there's a better place? Aren't you glad we're passing through here? Praise God. Glory, when we get to heaven, I know good and well that I'm not going to have to worry about pills and other things. But right now, you see, it's a battle. But I'll tell you one thing. Thank God for families that love each other. And you work out even when you're starting out all the problems, and then you work out and you work and you work, and it's continual work. And many of us many times find ourselves in situations we can't do anything about. And then God lets us readjust a little bit. We find someone else and we do the same thing and we start, and God gives us a family. The worst place in this world is for a man and woman to be together and one be saved, one not be saved. Because if they do anything for God, either the one that's saved does anything for God, there will be some problems down the road because Satan will fight that all the time. So again, the parents, he's entrusted you to the children to the parents so that they become instruments for shaping the character and the future of that particular child. And we can't depend upon the schools to do it. We can't depend upon the church to do it. Now, they can help, but even now the schools won't help much. But the church itself can help, but it can't do it. It has to be done starting with the home. So we don't have to be like our parents when we get our own, get grown. We don't have to be like our parents at all. But we can still honor them by the way we speak to them, by the way we speak of them to others. And I'm talking about respect. The second thing quicker was obedience. Since parents are the first line of instructions, honor them calls for obedience to them in the home. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 6. He says simply this, children, obey your parents. Then he throws in this preposition phrase, in the Lord. That's very important. Sometimes somebody says, well, you know, parents said, you're supposed to obey me no matter what I tell you to do. No, if it's not in the Lord. That's an exception clause here. Now, a child can't use that for everything. But there are some biblical things that if you tell one to do that's wrong, there's a higher power than this law. And God here in the New Testament gives us in grace to understand that if, as long as it's in the Lord, it's all right in verse 1 of chapter 6. Simple that. But what if they tell me to do something that's wrong? Then the exception to obedience towards parents is topped out by being obedient to the higher authority, namely, in this case, the authority of Almighty God. We have nowhere that God give any laws that causes us that where we would go against Him just to please something else that someone says I should do. We have no right to. We have no right to disobey God in obeying someone else. But we need to be sure, ladies and gentlemen, that God has said what we should be doing and should not be doing at this particular time, you see. And then there's the care. In the obedient thing, so honoring your parents implies you're obedient to them as long as you do not disobey God. And that's the thing about it. So a young person, they don't have to be like their parents. I think a lot of times you get older, you kind of pick up some of the characteristics of that, especially if you've got a godly mother and dad. You can't be no bit like nobody any better than that if you got a godly mother and dad. Oh, there's to it because they already set some standards you didn't like probably years ago. But now you go back and you realize, hey, thank God. I may have rebelled against my parent, but I thank God He set a standard for me that's in my heart today. Boy, it seared my heart because there was a standard there that I remember today. Now I may go back and sometimes I have to go say, Mother and Dad, I'm sorry, but I thank you so much because you set the standard. No matter what I would say or do, you set the standard. And that's a wonderful thing. But parents have to be older to hear that because it breaks your heart sometimes when a child thinks that you don't know what you're doing because you're trying your best to be a good mother and dad to them. But again, when you talk about caring, care can be shown by paying attention to the parents, calling them, visiting them, giving them contact and so forth. Now, when you look at the respect and you look at obedience and you look at the care from the child to the parent, then in this commandment also talks about the parents being honorable. That's important. If they're to respect us, then God has given us the example. We should be honorable by being what they need to see in turn that would give them an idea about who God is and not be, you know, up and down and all in and out and not being consistent. This commandment also speaks to the parents. They call the parent to be honorable at this particular time. And it's interesting because when you think about being honorable, Proverbs 22, turn there with me if you will, please. In Proverbs chapter 22. You've seen this, you know this by heart. When you get there, it says, train up a child the way that he should go. That is the instruction. Verse 6. Train up a child the way that he should go. Train up a what? A child. It's an adolescent by the time you can't start when they're 16-year-old. They got to be a little child. They got to be like these young people sitting here singing songs about Jesus. Jesus loves me, this I know. They need to hear the story, biblical stories they need to understand as they come up. So they begin basic growth that can be added to later. It's hard to take a 20-year-old and start out like a little child. Now, every born-again person has to start out as a child because we are children. We're fed on the milk of God's Word. But I'm saying when it comes to being born physically, to start out as a child and bring up, then they can grow a lot easier as they hear and remember, and certainly a foundation to be built, that as they get older to make decisions themselves, God will bring that back to their members at that time. Where does this child need to develop? Train up a child the way he should go. Where does he need to develop? How can we as parents help to share his thinking or her thinking? How can we help to share their interests, and even to discipline them, to let them know? One thing is for sure, and no matter what person may think, you have to know what you do. One thing for sure, that when you start out early with a child, ladies and gentlemen, and it don't mean everything's going to turn out like it ought to turn out, but it means the end result will, because that verse in Proverbs 22, verse 6, God will keep his promise there. When a child has to be disciplined and specially spanked, and the Bible talks about using a rod on that child, then when you finish, you ought to go and get along with that child and sit down and show in the Bible why you had to do that and pray with that child. My wife and I did that every time we had to severely punish one of our children. And whatever may have happened later, it could have been a lot worse, I believe, Mother, if we hadn't done what we did in those early years. It takes time to do that. It takes time to do that. When you really have to hard... One thing is correction, another. But when you really have to hard punishment to a child, and by the way, they will try you, and there will have to come a time that you are the authority. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't be the best friend of your child. You are the parent. Now, you can be friendship to them. So I said, well, I just want to be the best friend. You're the parent. Friends don't have authority. Now, there's nothing wrong in loving your child. In fact, if you love your child, you're going to be a friend to them. But you can't be just friend. You're the authority. The friend will let things go. Well, you know, authority means God said do this, and this is what we must do. This is the law. I don't care if 50,000 other people won't do it. This is what God said do, and we have to do that. If you understand that, then we'll get along fine. If not, I'm not going to stand before God. Now, if I'm wrong, then I'll give account one day. But I'm not going to stand before God one day and stand there and be wrong because I would egotistically try to do something on the top of my head. See, they know where you're lying, or they know where you're playing or not. You can't be consistent in this and not be consistent in this. You can't be over here one thing and something else, something else. This Bible is a total Bible, not just sections. This is a complete Word of God, not just sections. If you read sections, you'll be confused and go mad, probably, if you're not careful. Because there's a lot of things that God says in certain place in context that He meant when He said it, but then there's things that He works out in grace that makes things much better. And then people say, well, that'd be the case. You mean God couldn't do something right to start with? Yes, He could. But God knew who He's working with. He knows will but does. So He works out through the method, through the years, that whereas generation after generation can grow and be what they ought to be before the Lord, and then come to the age of grace and thank God I'm not in the Old Testament. Thank God. There's no wonder Israel never did keep all these laws, because not too many people, after a few stoning of their sons because they were disobedient to their parents, headstrong and against. I'm sure there was meetings held to change society's thinking about that, so that they'd put them in a foster home or put them in a government home, which in turn make them worse if you're not careful. You take God out of the picture. There's no way you and I can grow up to be anything that's pleasing to God or anybody else. Now, we can please a few people if we think we can get something out of it. But God teaches us that we ought to please God. And when we do that, we'll please people where we get nothing out of it, as long as it's biblical. I'm not talking about fleshly things, you see. I'm talking about that which is biblical. Again, this may be the hardest work that we face as parents. Interaction with children often, and the willingness to risk being misunderstood by them. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a mother and dad, you will be misunderstood by your child. Because everything they get everywhere else, at school and other places, is not biblically. They're their own. And what's happening in this case, they will misunderstand what you... And they'll go talk to somebody else who's the authority, quote, and they'll misunderstand. They don't even understand where you're coming from. They don't understand the background of your heart. First thing they look at is, man, you've been hard. You've been tough. You just want to have your way. You're just trying to be a dictator. No, you're trying to be a good parent. Trying to be a good parent. It's the hardest thing in the world that a parent can do. But again, in order to give them the best direction for their life, God gives an instruction here. It's interesting, too. Honorable parents do not attempt to be, again, as I said, their best friend. You have to be the parent. The parent has to be a primary model for their children. How to live the Christian life. How are they going to live? How the husband and wife as a Christian should live. How do they live with each other? Children need to see that. Someone said, well, I tell you, I love my wife, but I don't show no affection to my wife around my kids. You ought to. They ought to know. Listen, my mother and dad loved each other. They didn't do anything out of the way, but they didn't mind showing their love to the children. That when you love someone, there is a way you can show it. It's much better than cussing and raring and hollering at each other. Amen? I love you, folks. I'm just being polite as I can on this. And Barbara's taking notes. Amen. Again, integrity and work ethics, teachability, servant heart, respect and authority means that parents must set the example or develop a mind and heart giving attention to improving their skills. They're wrestling with the important issues of the day. They're standing upon principles. They're stating and standing on eternal truths from the Scriptures and showing them from the Scriptures, though they may go to somewhere else to school and talk to them about the Bible. They say, well, the Bible has nothing to do with us. We have our own set rules. But we go by the Bible as much as we know how. And try our best to let them see that we get it from this. By the way, and the thing about it is, though, this is so hard to get the time. Not hard to study, it's hard to get the time to study. And because of that, we have so many voices out there getting our attention. Showing how to grow in relationships. If we wish to honor our children to honor us, we must set the example of honor. That's important. And you have to be consistent as possible. Now, Paul calls the fifth commandment the first commandment with a promise, Ephesians 6, verse 2. And here, he states what both the Exodus and Deuteronomy, we already read statements on, honor your father and your mother so that it may be well with you and that you may live in your land, Israel, and on the earth a long time for the individuals. Now, what is given is not an absolute guarantee. Someone said, well, I know someone, the best child you've ever seen. You know, they died. If you've seen on the health channel this past week, you've seen a little boy, and I was telling some fellows about that this week. A little boy, 2 years old. Prettiest little boy you've ever seen. Sweetest little kid. He had cancer, had tumor of the head. They had to operate on his head. 2 years old. Couldn't even walk, couldn't hardly talk, dad, mama, this type of thing. But he had a smile. Anybody see that? It was at Jude's Hospital. They were showing in St. Jude's Hospital. Had a smile. And he couldn't take radiation, but they gave him chemo. And they had all these things to him, and he couldn't understand it, and they'd stick him, and he'd cry, but then all of a sudden he smiled. Just a pretty thing in this world. And then all of a sudden they had a graduation day for him because he couldn't take no more chemotherapy, so they gave him a party, I think chemotherapy party. And they just, the doctors and nurses, everybody fell in love with him. I fell in love with him looking at him on television. I'd love to have him. And suddenly he got better. He went home. His dad showed him out. He walked. I like a little baby 2 years. It was a little baby just learned how to walk. They just break your heart just about looking at him. And then 6 months later he died. Now, folks, listen. There's no way that little kid can know what it is to honor his parent. Some things you can't explain. You just can't explain. It's unexplainable. Like the message I preached the other night. There comes a time you just have to trust God. And what I'm saying is God knows what he's doing. And there's no telling what God did that little fellow those 2 years he was in the hospital. Or a year and a half in the hospital. All that time. But I'm saying God has said this law will work. And you'll raise children who become adults later. And in turn, that will form a society that's godly. You know what changes society? A generation raises up that's not godly. And when you have that, the next generation will be less godly. And the next will be less godly. And after a while, you have a generation like the Canaanites, atheistic. And then wonder why God of heaven comes and says to Israel, now I'm going to bring you into the land that I've given you, but when you go in there, you're going to have to fight for it. I'm going to fight for you, but when you go in there, you kill every last one of them. You kill the children, you kill the women, you kill the mother and dad, you kill them all. Because when you get in that atheistic, ungodly land that's had all these years to turn to God and didn't, when you get there, if you don't, they will take you away from me. And that's exactly what they did. Israel did backed up. She didn't do what God said do. And someone said, well, boy, I'm glad my God's not like that. That's a tyrant God. Boy, I'm glad my God's not like that. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm glad my God hates sin. Amen. And that proves to me that He's going to make a way for us in Jesus Christ. And when we get to heaven, we won't never have to worry about anything like that again, because He's working all that out at this particular time, you see. And so, again, we wish to honor our children, then we must set the example for them. And, of course, honoring your father and mother, we're talking about guaranteed life for, you know, to be 100 years old. This is a kind of a general promise. It affects you in the society in which you live. You know, they did not have their own land at this time. And how they will remain, here's what God is saying to Israel. How you remain in the land would be affected by the obedience and honor in their homes. That's what Israel needed to understand as they prepared for this new land that God was going to give them. They're going to get it. He's promised it. There's no doubt about it. But how they stay in that land starts in the home. If the home is not right, then society is not right. And the best way to start in the home, the husband and wife has already been brought together in some type of a ceremony and holy matrimony. Now, the only way to produce a good generation is to produce a children, offspring, heritage from God that will learn by obedience to the parents would help them obey God. Obedience to the parents they can see will help them obey God when they get to be adults and start their family that they cannot see. And the generation would be different. But once a generation bypasses that and doesn't set that example, then you got chaotic, ungodly, atheistic thinking. And by the way, don't you think this nation is not going to get worse unless God's people began to really take their stand. And when we do, we're going to suffer for it. The Lord's going to have to come back. And I believe this. You heard me say hundreds of times, I bet. I believe that the voice of God still is the church today. I'm talking the Bible-believing, redeemed, blood-washed church is the voice of God today. And there is a voice here. It's small, and it's been put down. It's less now than it was when I was a boy. There's not much authority today in the news media anywhere or any type of talk show when you talk about what God is doing. You talk about being born again through Jesus Christ, the only way, and they'll laugh you out of the county. You talk about the only way to God is through Jesus, and they will put you down, mock you, and put you, hey, there's no way in this world, unless God would open it up, that a person can get up there and say, I'm a born again child of God. If you're ever going to get to heaven, you're going to go through Jesus Christ, you're going to bust hell wide open. You're not going to get in the White House saying that. Why? Because of the vote. But in that Bible, in that truth, so you know what's going to happen? The King of Kings coming back. Amen. And brothers and sisters, He's going to set up the kingdom. And He's going to rule and reign. And when He does, it'll be right. So we're in the preliminary of that now. But it's coming very soon. I believe it all my heart. And so the way of wisdom is always the way of righteousness that affects even our lives in this life. And so, Proverbs chapter 3, turn to Proverbs chapter 3, when I'm putting it up this time. In Proverbs chapter 3, here's what it says. Look with me in verse 1 and 2. He said, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Isn't that interesting? That's another great promise. Don't you forget my laws. He said, but let thy heart keep my commandments, and for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Ladies and gentlemen, it is hypothetical. But you know, the turn of the century, of the last century until the beginning of this century, and certainly from the last century to about the mid-50s, there was a reverential fear of God in this country, even though you had a bunch of crackpots that didn't believe Him at all. Basically, there was a reverential fear. The Word of God was preached. The Bible Belt was here. Churches were growing, coming out and taking stands, and great things were happening where this nation could have been really used of God rather than what we are now. But something began to take place. There began a change. And suddenly, a few in politics made laws that put a crime to be a really true Bible-believing born-again Christian. If you're going to give your faith out. If you're going to share it, like Jesus told us to do that. And so what happens is, we find that we know what the Scripture says, but it's hard sometimes for us to go, because everywhere we look at right now, look at right now. You can't even go someplace and knock on doors and witness. You can't get on Main Street now without a permit and witness. If you do, they'll come and tell you you can't do it. You can't even put a sign up without a permit. Everything's been governed that way. And so, to listen to and apply the wisdom of your parents will have an effect on the duration of your life. Walking in the way of deceiving, that's all God is saying. In the early part, the father was the priest of his home in those early days, until God set up another system and set up the Levitical system for Israel when he called Israel. The home was the center part. It was the father's place to see that the home was taught and the word of God given, the commandments given, and set the example. And as those homes multiplied by the hundreds, the generations come up and did the same thing. So listen to and walk in the wisdom of the parents that are godly. Like here, he's talking about here, verse 1 and 2, Proverbs chapter 3. Now listen to that. And they're godly. They have an effect on the duration of one's life. But listen, walk in the way of deceivers and adulterers and thieves, and pardon with the foolish, ungodly stuff of today. It destroys lives and often to death. The way of wisdom is always the way of righteousness that affects even individuals' lives. So what happens is now, much is going on in the youth eras nowadays. The youth are not to blame. Parents are to blame. Parents are to blame. And sometimes we don't want to say it, but parents are to blame. Because there's more parents that have the idea of raising children is like Dr. Speck rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. More people have the idea that somebody wrote a book and they got a how to do this with their children rather than God. This is the greatest book that's ever been written, and anyone who writes about children ought to write from this book. We're getting off of this, folks, so you won't hear about it no more. You say you're hitting it pretty deep, preacher. Let's get it and go on, okay? We'll plow over it later and let it do what it wants to do, like that. So the way of wisdom is always the way of righteousness. So honoring parents was never considered a small thing in Israel's day. With all the concern we have today, though, see, in Israel's day it was no small thing. It was a big thing. And God enforced it so much that if it wasn't enforced, the child rebelled against what was set forth, then they were to be stoned at the appropriate time. But when you talk about in our day, with all the concern we have today, and rightly so, about child abuse, we are forgetting that God's first concern was for the abuse of parents by children in the Old Testament. But when you get to the New Testament, it's entirely different. If you look at the Old Testament, you'll see places like, he who strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death, Exodus 21 verse 15. Or he who curses his father and his mother shall surely be put to death also. If there's anyone that curses his father and his mother, he shall surely be put to death. Over and over again, these verses are there. If any man has a stubborn, rebellious son who will not honor his father or mother, and when they chastise, he will not even listen to them, then his father shall seize him and bring him to the elders of the city at the gate of the hometown. And they say to the elders of the city, this son is an outward, stubborn, rebellious son. We cannot do a thing in the world with him. He refused to obey us. And they'll have a committee set together and say, he deserves stoning. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's kind of tough, but that's law. But in the age of grace, we notice that the son of disobedience is the one that God said you have to remove him because he'll affect society. Now we have grace. Thank God for that. The New Testament father shows by that the disobedience in the home is a sure sign of depravity. The downward spiral generation painted in Romans 1 includes that there are those that are in the last times, men will be disobedient to their parents. 2 Timothy 3:2. In the Scriptures, honor your father and your mother is always weighted matter established in this authority in the home. The authority, word authority is a good word. And it's used for us to understand when God said what He said, He meant it. In the age of grace, God help us. We all need much help. We ain't arrived yet. We know in part. We're learning. We try and error. But when we try and err and do the things that God wants us to do, it works out for us. And I pray that these comments, I'm going to stop there. There's some more things I could say, but I won't on this particular commandment. Honor thy father and mother. Obey the parents. It's going to be well with you. And in the long run, families and society will live longer. Could that be the reason why God let us get back beyond 50 years to 70 to 80 years? Maybe because there was a time in the last century that where there was an honor to some degree. There was a preaching of God's word. And now we have a society that's not. Father, I want to thank you again. I praise you. Bless what's been said. I rambled some tonight, Lord, on this commandment. But again, a lot of things, good things have been said. And I think everyone I was here can, it's not browbeating nobody. It's ourselves looking into the Word of God, asking you to help us see, Lord, exactly what we need to see. I need help. I need help now, Lord. Every one of us need help. And you're the one who helps us. Please help us, Lord Jesus, to understand what you said. And realize you didn't say it to hurt us. You said it to help us. And you see the productivity of this, that when one is raised in that environment, you even said, if you train him up the way he should go, he may kick out of the harness or she may kick out of the harness, but God will bring him back. He's promised that because he's faithful to his word. And I thank you for that. Honor yourself tonight as you help us be better parents, grandparents in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.